position. Grace has changed our purpose. You want to see this? Notice what he says. What does it be start immediately causing us to think about when we think about humility, long-suffering, lowliness? What does he say? Bearing with what? Bearing with each other. Bearing with one another. So when we think about salvation, when we think about God calling us, he wants us to not just think about it individually. He doesn't want us to just think about my individual salvation, my personal experience with God. He wants us to put it in the context of one another. Immediately. In other words, when we walk out the calling, we do it with one another and toward one another. You know, one of the greatest blessings of my heart this past month has been seeing the body of Christ bearing with one another in love. That's been just wonderful. Just seeing the sacrificial love and prayer and being there for people. And I tell you, I mean, for some of the hardship that we've had to face over the past month or longer for some, at the same time, what a blessing these days have been. Because there's nothing, there's no greater, as speaking as a pastor of church, there's no greater blessing. As Paul, as John writes, that your children walk in love and in the truth. And to see people walking in love in the truth toward one another, with one another, that's just awesome. We're walk worthy of God. Live by walk out our salvation in a way that points people back to Christ, back to salvation, back to grace. How could we not be humble? We cannot help but be humbled by the width, length, depth, and height of the love of Christ that has been revealed and manifested to us. And when that is happening, we cannot help but have that love pouring out of our lives and the lives of others. Say others. Others. You're not just saved for yourself. You're saved for others. We're to walk it out with others. You see the importance of this? In fact, he drives it home, this point home in the next few verses. Verse 3 and following. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he proceeds to establish the foundation of this unity that we're to endeavor for. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. A lot of stuff there. But again, do you remember what Ephesians is ultimately about? It's about Christ in the church. It's about the church. It's about Christ's blessings in creating and establishing and founding the church. And so when we think about salvation and we think about what Christ has done and we're humbled by that, all of this again is in the context of the family of God. It's in the context of the church, the body of Christ. So what is walking worthy of the calling look like? It looks like endeavoring to keep the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. I mean, as individuals, we have responsibilities, our own responsibilities to ourselves. But we are exhorted to think beyond ourselves, beyond our personal individual salvation. We are to have the church in view. And I want to encourage the local church in view. This is important. When Paul is writing to the Ephesians, there's this sense in which we're to consider the universal church. But he's thinking local church because that's how it's going to be applied in the lives of the Ephesians. They have to think of locally. What does this look like for our local church? That's what they have to say. What does this look like for me in the context of my immediate relationship with my brothers and sisters next to me? It's local. The word endeavor in the Greek, it means to be diligent. Means to labor. It means to make effort with eagerness. There's a context in which it would mean to fight for. The word keep means to guard, to attend to with great care. And so he says that we're to guard something really important to him. We're to guard what? We're to guard the oneness of the body of Christ. We have a responsibility. So in other words, Christ has brought us in to this, you know, it's interesting because Jesus says in another place, I'm the one who builds the church. Right? But how does he build the church? Well, one of the ways he builds the church, the means that God uses, is he uses you and I to labor, to make great effort, to endeavor, to fight for the unity of the church. We must see ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ, of the same family. It reminds me of my pastor from Pennsylvania, and he was sharing with me a story of the church in Lancaster City, a little storefront church, and we had like a, I think maybe it was a 5-year anniversary or something like that. It was some special event that we had in the church, and it was just, he was just flood, his heart was filled and flooded with praise to God. It was just such a, it was a, just a blessed success and how God has provided for this ministry, and it was just a wonderful service. And he told me how he was walking, I don't know if he was walking home, because they were in the city and they didn't live too far, whether he was walking home, but he was walking in the city, and he came across somebody else that was dressed up, it was evidently dressed up for church that morning, and they wore suit and ties and all that. And he could just tell that this brother, and he was a black brother in Christ from his church, and I think, from what I remember, he was the pastor of his church. And so these two brothers come across one another, don't know one another from Adam, but they see there's a glow about them. Pastor Brad Bruder, he's excited about Jesus Christ, and he just can't contain it. And he sees this other brother, who he doesn't know, and he's walking down the street, and they come into each other, and they just, there's just something, this connection, and they just embrace one another in Christ's name. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We love one another. Yeah, we bear with one another. You have to bear with the person next to you? Just a little? No, you have to bear with me? And some we have to bear with more than others. Right? The point is, listen, brother. By the way, there's a reason I'm going to get to why I have brothers. But say, listen, we have the same Lord. We're on the same mission. We're the same mission. We've received the same grace. Nobody needed more grace than you. You needed more grace than somebody else. We all received the same grace. We're all recipients of the same mercy and the same forgiveness. We're all anointed, baptized, filled with the same Holy Spirit. And it's like Paul's just going down this list and saying, we're one here, and we're one there, and we're one here, and we're one there. And oh, we're one in this, and we're one in that, and we're one. So when we think about walking it out, he's saying, we walk it out as one. It's not, praise God if you're saved. Praise God if you know Jesus. Praise God if you're walking it out. But that walking it out is going to be in the context of one another. You know, we have the same future. We've been singing about that and praising the Lord for it today, haven't we? Do you know that there's not going to be a little Baptist section up there? There's not going to be a little Presbyterian section over here, or Pentecostal section over there, or Independent section over here. One family, we sang about, from every tribe, tongue, and nation, going to be gathered together eternally, forever. Amen? Amen. Giving Him glory, praising His name, with one another, not in our little separate little rooms. Praise God for that. Listen, this is so important. What we do here, gathering together, you know, building that kind of fits in number that's here, this is important. There's something that happens, I can speak personally, to my heart when you and I worship together. When you and I praise the Lord together. I don't know about you, I do this. Amen? Amen. The reason why we're to guard this unity is at least in part, our oneness is the message. Our oneness is the message. Consider Jesus' high priestly prayer. John 17, starting with verse 20, says, I pray for those who will believe in me through their word, meaning the words of the disciples, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Do you get it? The oneness is the message. And he goes on, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And here it is again, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. The oneness in Christ, the oneness with one another, is the message. Ephesians is all about, this is what Christ has done. He saved individual people, Jew and Gentile and anybody else, and he's brought them together and made them one in a family. And don't you think that's the message that this world needs today?
You and I, you see that
the message that the world needs is the message of the unity of the body of Christ in Christ Jesus. Our unity is the message. And do you see why we need to fight for it? The reason we have to guard against this unity is because there is an enemy who seeks to destroy it. I want you to recall the doxology for a moment back in chapter 3. Covered it last week. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be what?
Glory.
Say it like you mean it.
Glory.
Glory. To him be glory in the what?
Church.
By Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. To him be glory in the church, in the church, in the church, the body of Christ. And why do we have to fight for the unity of the body of Christ? Because the glory of God is at stake. God has determined that he would be glorified through the church that is one. That word, endeavor and guard, those two words, it reminded me of, several years ago we had the fires. Well, we've had fires a number of years. It seems like every year there's a fire. But in any case, 2015 was the big fire for us when we weren't sure if we were going to lose our house and all that. And, and after the fire had come through, some of you recall that there was a bunch of looting going on around. And in fact, our friend Shorty's house, who had passed away earlier that year, Chad, it was given to Chad, and long story short, nobody was up at that house. And it was broken into, or the garage was broken into, and things were stolen, right? And in fact, it was a moment where, we kind of ran into what was very possibly the thieves. Law enforcement couldn't do anything at the time. They were on the road, what are they doing up here, strange car? And there was always that, I wish I did something more to detain this guy, because the cop showed up and then this car drove down. Detain this guy, if I did that, I'll just check the house and see what's going on. Anyway, long story short, the guy got away, but not really, because a few days later he was dead. Crime doesn't pay, apparently. But in any case, where I'm going with this is, this looting's happening, and so I don't even know how we did this. We contacted law enforcement or something like that. And I remember driving home one day. It was at night after being down here or whatever. And on our road, if you've been up to our road on Mac Mountain Road, right there, floodlights and the National Guard are parked in their Humvee on Omac Mountain Road. There's like five houses to protect. Serious stuff. I pull up and, who are you? Well, I kind live here and show my information and all that. And I think another time I came up and dropped him off some cookies or burgers or something like that. Just so appreciate it. Got out of the car and took their picture. You know, there's the Humvee. You know, they're standing there guarding us. What a blessing. You know, that was about the time when we started locking our doors. And actually, though we didn't always lock our doors before, we always had a gun next to the bed. And a gun at the front door and the back door. We always wanted to be well guarded. Why? Because we've got something precious to protect. There's a family that needs to take care of itself. And we need to protect the unity of our family. And we're to take that seriously. Why? Because there is a thief who seeks to kill and destroy. And what does he want to do? He wants to destroy the unity of the body of Christ. Why? Because he wants to steal the glory from God. We ought not to help him out. We ought not to help the enemy out with our resentments and our bitterness and our withdrawal from the body of Christ and all the things that can get in the way. We ought not to help the enemy. We ought not to open the door and let him in. Paul is saying, fight for this. Do you not see that this is coming under attack today? There's an onslaught from the evil one against the body of Christ. And Paul's saying, fight for this. Don't let the enemy separate you from the body. It is through the unified oneness message of the church that God has determined to make known his glory. I want to close with this last couple of scriptures. There we go. That's actually 4:8. You jump down there. Starting with verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And it goes on and it talks about how God has equipped the body of Christ and how he's blessed the body of Christ. And so we don't have time to go there, but I want to just touch on this. When he ascended on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts to men. This whole ascending and descending, and how does it tie in here? One of the things that it speaks to here is it speaks to what Christ had to do in regards to descending. It speaks of his condescension. It speaks of his stooping down in order to face our enemy and be him. So it speaks of his humiliation. It speaks of his death. And that the things that we've been talking about, the oneness and the unity, was established and founded upon the death of Jesus Christ. That our entrance into every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is because Christ descended in order to make us one in him. Think of Philippians 2, verses 6. 8, speaking of Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made him of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So Paul lays out the cost and the consequence of our calling. Our salvation is based on the successful sacrifice of the Son of God. We can be called by God because Christ condescended. But not only that, because he came and conquered. He not only descended, but he ascended. And there's this picture, this verse, and it's found, I think, in Psalm 68. You can go back there. I think that there's a connection there with the entrance of the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. I think there's this image there. There's this connection to that. And there's this sense of accomplishment and victory in all of that. Paul is taking that thought and that experience in the Old Testament. He's bringing it here. He's applying it to Christ's descending and ascending. And so there's this picture of Christ's victory. And what Paul is basically saying here is he's saying, listen, only the victor has spoils to share. Only the victor has spoils to share. And that's what Christ is doing. And that's the blessings that we considered in 1 through 3. Those are the result of Christ descending and ascending, because only the victor has the spoils. Each year we go to the booster dinner, the athletic booster dinner for Okanagan. Our kids are involved in sports. And there's an auction and those kind of things. And I need to stop inviting certain people to sit at our table. Because what happens is my auction number gets somehow mysteriously taken and passed down the table. So when the auctioneer, during the dessert auction, is saying, hey, you know, they bring out some dessert, they're, no, I can't, you know, it's like a gift to be able to do that. And then all of a sudden, my number gets thrown up. Like, what? You know, I say my number. Somebody else at the table is holding my number. I'm like, well, you give me that, and then it gets passed out and run to another guy. And then they jack up the price again. And they pass around, they jack up the price again. So I end up getting stuck with $400 worth of cupcakes. And they bring the cupcakes over. And the victor shares the spoils. It's all in good fun. The victor, and everybody benefits. And everybody gets a cupcake. Oh, they were good cupcakes. In fact, could go from one to right about now. Listen, Christ is the victor. He's the reason why we have hope. That's one of the spoils that he shares with us. We share in his victory. Unity, oneness, is a victory. When two brothers or two sisters come together and forgive or bear with one another, love one another in humility and all that, that's a victory. We're sharing in the victory that Christ purchased on the cross for us. We're to fight. But our fight is in the context of he's already won. Amen? He's already won. And we are sharing in the spoils of his victory. And so, well, you know, let's stand. I got another thing I'd like to say that just as we close here. But I just want us all, you know, just encourage us all at this moment. What are we doing to fight for the unity of the body of Christ? You understand that it's under attack. You understand that there's a siege going on. Do you have your guns at the door? Are you prepared to defend the family? Are you defending the family now? That's your own home, let alone the Church of Jesus Christ. What are we doing? Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the body. Why? Because we're all one in Christ. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Holy Spirit, one Father, one mission. Fight for unity. Fight for oneness. Love one another. Amen. Father, we thank you for the victory that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church is an example, or a demonstration rather, of what your power has done, what the Holy Spirit has done, what the cross has accomplished, to take people that would not normally be together as one and bring them together with all of our differences, with all of our independence and all of our pride, with all of our selfishness, and somehow through Christ overcoming that and us coming together. Oh Lord God, help us to be one. Help us to be the answer to the prayer of our high priest, Jesus, who prayed that we would be one. Oh Lord God, help our oneness reflect the message that Christ is in us, that Christ came, that He is one with the Father, that we are one with Him, that there is real grace available to sinners, that there's a real heaven and a real hell, and You sent us as the church to declare with one voice, there is one way only. It's through Jesus Christ. Thank You for the victory that we have in Him. Send, there's going to be opportunities this day, these days ahead. Help us to fight for this. Thank You for bringing us into the family of God. We thank You. In Jesus' name, all God's people said.
Amen.
You know that song is close.